God is a prayer-answering God. He's a sovereign God. Thank you, Lord. And he's on time. Thank you, Jesus. We are going to continue a thought that was in our mind from last week. We were talking about the invitation, and we want to look at that again and maybe another aspect of it. So we want to turn your attention to the Gospel of St. John, chapter number 8. St. John, chapter number 8. And it's interesting to note, as many of us well know, that in the public ministry of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, while he was here on earth, there was opposition to his ministry. There were opposition. There was opposition to his authority. There was opposition to his teaching, to the way he was carrying out his life. And the opposition mainly came from the scribes and the Pharisees, the religious leaders in the Jewish community. And Jesus was being challenged because they, in one particular portion of, I believe the beginning of that 8th chapter, they brought the woman who was caught in the act of adultery. And they did not do what was required in the law, but they tried to act like they did, because they said, "We caught her in the act. She wasn't acting by herself. The law said, bring them both. But judgment in the hands of man is often perverted. That's why I'm thankful to the Lord that he is the righteous judge of all the earth. Because sometimes humans have a way of skewing things to fit their own motives. And Jesus knew their hearts, and Jesus knew their motives, so he just wrote on the ground. And then he lifted up and said, if you are without sin, you'll be the first one to cast a stone at her. Went back. Everybody left, because they knew they were guilty. Amen. And then Jesus asked the woman, where are your accusers? They're gone. He said, I don't accuse you. You just go and sin no more. And they were upset. The religious people were upset. And Jesus, in another place, said, my doctrine is not mine, but it's his that sent me. I brought it down from heaven. So there was always a question of the authority, what right that Jesus had to do what he did and teach what he taught. But even in Jesus' teaching, there were some who believed. And we praise God for those who believed. And in particular, in this 8th chapter of St. John, we'll begin at verse 31. John 8 and 31. So Jesus was doing some teaching, and verse 31, I have the Amplified Bible. Here's what it says. So Jesus said to those Jews who had believed in him, if you abide in my word, hold fast to my teachings, and live in accordance with them, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. This looks like another type of an invitation to me. Jesus is saying, you have to abide in my word. You have to hold fast my teachings. You have to wholeheartedly accept the message that I'm teaching you, Jesus is saying. And you have to arrange and govern your life according to the message that I brought down from heaven and I am declaring to you. Now, if you do these things, then you are truly my disciples. There are many followers of Jesus, but there's the difference between a follower and a disciple. Remember in the scripture where Jesus had fed the multitude and he went to the other side, I believe, of the lake, and people were looking for him, and Jesus even said, they're following me because they ate the fish and the loaves. So there's a crowd, and then there's a certain portion or segment within the crowd that are following Jesus because he's Jesus. There's people that follow Jesus because they can get certain things from Jesus. But when the things run out, what happens to the crowd? Is the crowd going to thin out when the hand of giving natural things stops? But Jesus said that you have to live according to my teaching. You have to hold fast to them. And this is what we endeavor to do, because we endeavor to be true disciples of Jesus Christ. That's our goal. And I have a couple of questions that I want to just pose to us as we talk about the invitation. Would you consider yourself to be a friendly person? How many would consider themselves to be a friendly person? All right. Good. 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 You all are helping me already. You're friendly. How many would say that they have more than 10 friends? More than 10. All right. It's not that many, but anybody have more than 20 friends? All right. I'm not talking about Facebook friends. I'm talking about real friends. All right. Friends. Okay. So we have friends. All right? Some more than others, okay? So, but pretty much, again, the first question, I just want to get a survey again. The first question was, how many consider themselves friendly people? All right, good, thank you. So hold that, and that'll come up a little later on, but hold that in the back of your mind, because you said you were friendly. All right? That's what you said. Okay. So Jesus makes an invitation. He makes an invitation, what I see as a sort of an invitation for us or for his disciples, specifically in this context, the Jews who had believed in him. And that was a bold thing for a Jew to do, to believe in the teachings of Jesus Christ. All right? Now, we are familiar with the passages of Scripture in Matthew, the 28th chapter, which is called the Great Commission. And it says, the Amplified version of that says, go then and make disciples of all nations. All right? So there's an invitation to be true disciples. And then Jesus, in Matthew's account, after his resurrection, before his ascension, he tells the 11 to go then and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Then he said in verse 20, teaching them to observe everything that I have commanded you. So again, that ties in with holding fast to the teachings, right? And living. See, we have to teach in deed and in word. Our life must teach more than our mouth. All right? So Jesus said, teaching them in verse 20 of Matthew 28, He said, teaching them to observe everything that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you all the days, perpetually, uniformly, and on every occasion, to the very close and consummation of the age. Amen. So let it be. So Jesus is giving them some comfort, and in turn, he's giving us the same comfort, that he's with us. No matter what we face here on earth, no matter what trial or circumstance, he is with us. And since he is with us, the invitation that he has given us to make disciples has not been rescinded. It hasn't been rescinded. All right? It has not been rescinded. So now, let's look at this invitation. It's an invitation to be a true disciple. It's an invitation also to make disciples. And this is the Great Commission, not the Great Suggestion, as one writer called it. It's not a suggestion, it's a commission. Amen. That we are to go and make disciples. We have to invite others to come and meet our Savior. Amen. All right. So now, remember how in Scripture there was a woman, a Samaritan woman, who had an encounter with Jesus at the well. You all remember that? This Samaritan woman who people shunned, and she couldn't even go to get water at the regular time. But anyway, she had an encounter with Jesus. And after she had an encounter to Jesus, then she went back to the town. And in verse 29 of the fourth chapter of St. John, she said, come see a man who has told me everything that I ever did. Can this be? Is this not the Christ? Must not this be the Messiah, the anointed one? So because of her encounter with Jesus, she invited the entire town. Because of that one encounter with Jesus, and she said in the conversation, if you recall, sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. And when she had that encounter with Jesus, she went back and she invited the entire town. And I would imagine that she didn't have too many friends in that town because everybody knew her reputation. Right? But you all said you had some friends. All right? Can you see where I'm driving? All right. Now, I want to ask how many of us have family members, because we all have family members. Amen? But there was an occasion, in the first chapter of John where John had some disciples. And when John pointed out Jesus Christ, some of John's disciples left John and started following Jesus. John chapter 1, verse number 40 says, one of the two who heard what John said and followed Jesus was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first sought out and found his own brother Simon and said to him, we have found, discovered the Messiah, which translated is the Christ, the Anointed One. Andrew then brought Simon to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, you are Simon, son of John. You shall be called Cephas, which translated is Peter, which means stone. All right? Now, I want to deal with that for a moment. Andrew followed Jesus, and when he followed Jesus, he went and told his relatives, we found the one that we've been looking for. We have found the Messiah. How often do we lead, or do we make an attempt to lead or invite our family members and close associates, or just deal with the family members, to Jesus? This is what Andrew did. All right? Scripture goes on to say, Verse 43, the next day Jesus desired and decided to go into Galilee, and he found Philip and said to him, join me as my attendant and follow me. All right? Then Philip followed him. Now, Philip was from Bethsaida, thank you, of the same city as Andrew and Peter. Peter sought out and found Nathanael and told him, we have discovered the one Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote about, Jesus from Nazareth, the legal son of Joseph. Nathanael answered him, Nazareth? Can any good come out of Nazareth? Philip replied, come and see. Interesting dynamic here. When they found Jesus, these individuals, Philip and Andrew, they immediately went and invited others. Usually, or if we can recall, when we first receive salvation, we're excited. Are we excited? And we tend to want everybody to come and meet Jesus. But somewhere along the journey of life, it seems or it appears that the enthusiasm for evangelism wanes. It seems life kind of gets in the way. It seems the zeal that and the joy and the excitement, it seems or it would appear that it kind of diminishes somewhat. And there are contributing forces that causes it to dwindle. First of all, the enemy is upset. The enemy is upset when you leave his kingdom and come into the kingdom of God. So then you start to get more resistance from the enemy. And then sometimes life gets in the way. Different things. But we understand, or do we understand what a real friend is? A real friend, someone has said, a real friend wants the absolute best for their friends. And when we survey our lives, when we look at our lives, when we take an introspective look at our lives, the best thing that has ever happened to us is Jesus Christ. The best thing that we have come in contact with, or the best person that we have come in contact with, or the best experience that we have come in contact with is Jesus Christ and the salvation that he brings to us, that he brought to the entire world. So a question that would pose in my mind, if I consider myself a real friend, and sometimes, friends are hard to come by, because a friend will tell you the truth when you don't particularly want to hear the truth. Huh? A true friend is someone who can check you at times when you're out of pocket, when you're out of bounds. That's a true friend. A true friend is not going to be a yes man or a yes woman. A true friend really wants what's best for you. Now, since that is the case, and I think we can agree, then we maybe need to go and reprioritize or recategorize. Some of us may have a lot of acquaintances, but we may not have a whole lot of friends, because it should be for us, it should, and I have to examine myself, that I would want my friends to have what I have. I should want my friends to have this treasure that I have. And the treasure is Jesus Christ. The treasure is salvation. So how will I feel if my friend enters into eternity separated from God? And I considered myself a friend. sobering thing. So the invitation has been extended to us, and it has been extended not only to us, but we need to extend the invitation through us to those we come in contact with. Now, it's another survey question, and you all can help me. You all are helping me. What is the thing that comes up almost in every one of our conversations and interactions? Think about that for a minute. Is there something or someone that comes up in all of our, in almost all of our conversations and interactions? Whatever that subject is, that's where your heart is. Because where your heart is, that's where your treasure is. And the thing that's on your heart will come out of your mouth. Whatever is most prominent in my heart will come out of my mouth. No wonder when the man asked Jesus, "What is the greatest commandment?" And Jesus said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, and with all your strength." If the love of God is the most predominating thing that rules my heart, then my conversation that I have with anybody, somewhere along the line, God will come out. So the question I have to ask myself is, what's coming out? What's coming out in my conversation? And the thing that comes out most in my conversation, that's what is sitting on the throne of my heart. Is it a sports team that I talk about the most? Is it a personal relationship with another human that I talk about the most? Is it my children? Is it my profession that I talk about the most? Whatever thing is ruling on my heart, that's what I'm going to talk about the most. It's real quiet. So I have to ask God to search my heart. I have to ask God I have to be willing to expose my heart to God, because I can't hide anything from him anyway. And I have to come to grips with some things that are out of alignment. I have to deal with that. What is my conversation? What am I really about? I understand that life, we have issues in life and things that we have to take care of. But if I hold fast to God's word, if I believe God's word, like I say I believe God's word, then somewhere along the line, this go and make disciples commission has to come up. It has to come up. So Andrew went and got his family member. Philip went and got his family member. The woman from Samaria went and got the whole city. And we fill in the blank. Fill in the, but Jesus is the best thing that ever happened to us. Yes, he is. That's what we say. That's what we say. But if Jesus is the best thing that happened to us, there ought to be some consistent sign that he is. If we don't make disciples, who will make disciples? Now, there are some things that the enemy would want. I'm teaching today, as you might have noticed. This is not a hoop and holler type of situation. Because after the hoop and holler, we got to live. Amen? Now, if Jesus has commanded us to make disciples, and here is something that the enemy, the devil, will try to make us think. He tried to put fear in us that I don't know enough about the word to tell someone or invite someone about Jesus. All you have to do is tell someone what Jesus has done for you. Another trick that the devil tries to put in our minds is, my friends are going to leave. If you consider them your friends, you have to take the risk of them leaving, especially if you know that they're facing eternity without God. So how can you consider yourself a true friend to them and never tell them about Jesus? See, that's the trick that the enemy likes to tell you, that you're going to be ostracized, you're going to be alone. And this is one reason why we need the household of faith, needs fellowship with one another. You see, there should not be any ostracizing of us of like precious faith. If anything, we should know, because we have a common salvation. So if anything, if the world shuns us, certainly we should not shun one another. We have an invitation to fellowship. We have an invitation to fellowship with one another, and truly our fellowship is with God, right? So if there's any place for harmony and connectivity and koinonia, which is fellowship, it should be among the people of God. Because we're going to face our share of being ostracized. But if you have friends that are not yet into the kingdom of God, don't forget that you are an ambassador, right? Don't forget that you have been given, that we have been given the ministry of reconciliation. So it is our responsibility, right, to exercise the ministry of reconciliation, lead people to Christ, bring them to Christ. Now, we have been given an indwelling. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, the Bible talks, Paul is writing, he says, now we have not received the Spirit that belongs to the world, but the Holy Spirit who is from God. Thank God for the Holy Ghost, who is from God, right? Given to us that we might realize and comprehend and appreciate the gifts of divine favor and blessing so freely and lavishly bestowed on us by God. So we have a great gift. We have an indwelling of the Holy Ghost. All right? And we have the ability to realize and comprehend and appreciate the gifts of the divine favor and blessing. We got favor on our lives because of the Spirit of God. And we are setting these truths forth in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Holy Spirit, combining and interpreting spiritual truths with spiritual language to those who possess the Holy Spirit, because the scripture lets us know that the natural man cannot receive the things of God because they are spiritually discerned. That's why we need to invite them to come to Jesus for salvation. We need to invite them. We need to live a life that is inviting, so they will want to know what makes us different. Not better, but different. All right? Now, how many of us, again, want the good life? Anybody want the good life? Be honest. Don't be scared. Come on. Come on. Who wants the good life? I'm the only, okay, don't be scared. If I raise my hand, maybe y'all will raise your hand. All right. I want the good life. Anybody else? I have to do this the hard way. Who in this section wants the good life? All right. Listen, I'm not going to harm you. I'm doing everything I can to help you. Who in this section over here wants the good life? Thank you. All right. Anybody in this section want the good life? All right. How about over here? Anybody want the good life? Okay, good. Now remember, y'all said y'all wanted the good life. Here's something that you need to understand. The good life has already been preordained for each and every one of us. The good life. It's already set up. It's already laid out. Every provision for us to live and have and enjoy the good life was set up and put in motion before any of us ever got here. Now, you want to say, what and how? Well, then, what's going on? When is that going to kick in? Ephesians chapter number 2. Ephesians chapter number 2. All right. Verse number 10. Here's what it says. And again, Paul's writing this to the church at Ephesus, to the saints at Ephesus. For we are God's own handiwork, his workmanship, recreated in Christ Jesus. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature, right? Born anew, that we may do those good works which God predestined, planned beforehand for us, taking paths which he prepared ahead of time, that we should walk in them, living the good life which he prearranged and made ready for us to live. You see that? So God has already prepared the good life for us to live. But now here's something that we need to understand. What we call the good life and what God calls the good life might be a little different. What we call the good life and what God, now y'all said, and we videoing this, y'all said that y'all wanted to live the good life. Huh? But what we call the good life and what God calls the good life is like night and day. Now watch this. We are God's own handiwork. We are his workmanship. So if we are God's own handiwork, that means that we belong to God. Our life belongs to God. Everything about us belongs to God, and we were recreated in Christ Jesus. When we got born again of the water and of the Spirit, we were recreated in Christ Jesus, born anew, not just to sit somewhere, but we were born again with a purpose. God has a divine purpose for every born again child of God. God has a divine purpose for everybody that he allows to receive faith and repentance and to receive salvation. The divine purpose that God has destined for each and every one of us is that we may do the good works which God predestined. So the good works is the same thing that Jesus did. Remember, Jesus said in one place, greater works shall you do, right? So these are the good works that our life, our destiny has already been pre-planned and predestined. So it's up to us again, since we have the infilling of the Holy Ghost. The Bible lets us know that they that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So God in residence in us as the Holy Ghost. He comes to lead us. He comes to guide us into all truth. And the truth of the matter is that we are free to do the work of God. Remember, he said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So what am I free from? I'm free from the control of sin. I'm free from trying to run my life according to everybody else's opinion. I'm free to do the things that God has destined me to do. I'm free to worship God because I have been created to worship him. I'm free to live a life that gives honor and glory and praise to God. I'm free to enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. I am free to bless the Lord at all times and let his praise be continually in my mouth. I am free to magnify the Lord, and you are free to let us exalt his name together. I'm free to say that God is the strength of my life. I'm free to say I will not fear what man can do to me. I'm free to say that in the Lord I put my trust and I put my hope. I'm free to say that I'm just a stranger here on the earth. I'm free to say that I'm looking forward to the soon coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I'm free to say that Jesus saves. I'm free to say that Jesus delivers. I'm free to say that Jesus is the only hope I have, the only hope you have, the only hope for the world. I'm free to say this. I can open up my mouth and I can declare the good things that God has done for me. And again, the best thing that he ever done for me was to save my soul. I'm free to tell it on the mountaintop. I'm free to tell it in the valley. I'm free to tell it to every person I come in contact with. I'm free to surrender my entire life to the control and governorship of Jesus Christ, because since he is in us through the indwelling of the Holy Ghost, I believe he wants to do the work through us. So I'm free not to listen to my human mind, but the Bible said that those of us who have received the gift of the Holy Ghost, we have the mind of Christ. So I'm free to allow Christ to operate and infiltrate in my mind. I'm free to allow my steps to be ordered by God, and so are you. I'm free to say that when I am weaker, then he is stronger. I'm free to say that the glory of God will rest upon me in whatever affliction that might try to attack my body. I'm free to say that God's grace is sufficient. I'm free to look into the word of God and declare what Jesus declared. He said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I'm the life. I'm free to say that no one comes to God except through Jesus Christ. I'm free to live a victorious life. Wait a minute, let me switch this up, because I was being a little selfish. We're free. You hear what I said? We're free to walk in victory. We are free to walk above sin. We are free to tell everybody of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. We are free, and we're on our way. You hear what I said? We're on our way. When the Lord comes back for us, he's going to free us from this environment. Glory. Hallelujah. I'm free from sin, but I'm still living around sin. My soul is free from sin, but my body and my human mind has to deal with the effects of a sinful and contaminated environment. But one day, and I believe it's soon, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. But let me tell you something. Before he descends from heaven, listen, if you have not obeyed and accepted the invitation, I'm free to stand here and tell you there's an invitation with your name on it. When
Jesus went to the cross of Calvary, he had you on his mind. He had me on his mind. Again, God's not willing that any should perish. God don't get no glory in someone dying and being eternally lost. But what makes God glad, what makes God happy, what makes the angels rejoice is one sinner that repents. Listen, you're free to repent today. You're free to turn your back on a lifestyle of sin and come running to Jesus. His arms are wide open. He said, yeah, I sent you the invitation a long time ago, but you done put it in file 13. You done put it in the garbage can. You let a whole lot of stuff in your life get piled on. The invitation that I sent to you when I called you, you know I called you to salvation, but you closed your ear and said, I want to do my thing. I got a little time. You ain't got as much time as you think you got. Listen, I hear the Bible said in the day that you think not, that's when he's coming. God can come for you as an individual, and you and God know he's been dealing with you. Listen, you can't get yourself together. That's why Jesus came. If you can get yourself together, we wouldn't need Jesus. But thanks be unto God, all of us were in a pit of sin. All of us were on our way to a devil's hell. And the love of God that drew salvation came as Jesus Christ. He came as the Lamb of God that comes to take away the sin of the world. This Lamb has invited us. His arms were stretched out on the cross of Calvary. He was bruised, yes he was, for our iniquities and our transgressions. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. It took something for you to get this glorious and heavenly invitation. It cost Jesus his very life. It cost him to shed his precious blood. So please don't scoff at this invitation. God has too much invested in it for you to take it lightly. Listen, he's done something for us that he didn't even do for the angels. Glory, hallelujah. We've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. The angels can't say that. All they can do, those that are in his presence right now, they're saying, holy, holy, holy. They are surrounding the throne of God with that praise. And dare we, mere humans who have been full recipients of the grace of God, keep our mouth closed when we are reminded of the grace of God that has appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness, we should live righteously and soberly in this present world. When we think, when you think, when I think of what it cost Jesus to purchase my salvation and then invite me to become his child, I will bless the Lord. I will praise him. Praise the Lamb for sinners slain. Give him glory. Give him glory. All ye people, for his blood can wash away each stain. Glory unto God for this great salvation and this great invitation to escape the wrath of God that is to come. God is a God of love. Oh, yes, he is. God is a God of mercy. Oh, yes, he is. I thank him for it. God is a God of grace. Oh, I thank God for his grace. God is holy and righteous, and I thank him for that. And he is a God of wrath. Oh, yes, he is. He's a God of judgment, but he's holding it back, giving you and me time and the world time to accept this glorious invitation. What you gonna do with the invitation? Sometimes during the holiday season and graduation season, we get several invitations, and glory to God, and we make an assessment as which one we will accept and which one we will attend according to the place that individual has on our hearts. If we don't have a close relationship with an individual, then they get pushed down to the pile, and the person or the individual that has the closest and most affection in our hearts, we say, I gotta go to this one. I gotta go to this one. That's how we should view the invitation of Jesus. Yeah, the world, oh God, the world is inviting me to do some awful stuff, and they know how to make it enticing. Oh yes, they do, because the world knows the world. Yes, and the works of the flesh is of the world, and they know how to make it look real good and real pretty and sell you a whole bunch of stuff up front. Oh man, all you got to do is come over here, you can get this and you can get that, and don't she look good, and don't he look good, you can get this, you can get your get high, you can get your get drunk, you can get your get together, you can get whatever you want to get. But what the world don't tell you is you can get lost and you can get left. Glory, hallelujah. But when you look at the invitation of Jesus Christ, he said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke. God said, listen, you've been carrying stuff that wasn't meant for you to carry. You've been carrying stuff throughout your life that's burdening you down. He said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I feel good in my soul right now because the load of sin was more than I could bear. Yes, it was. I was on my way to a devil's hell, and so were you with your good-looking self. You were still on your way to hell. But God, in his grace, sent out a royal invitation. He sent one of the messengers, and they preached the gospel message, and they witnessed the gospel message. Listen, before I came to the church, God had somebody to give me an invitation. That's why I asked you in the beginning, how many friends did you got, or are you a friendly person? Listen, it may not be in a service like this where the invitation goes forth, but what is so powerful, all of us can leave here on today, get in contact with somebody and invite them. And who knows, just your invitation, just your lifestyle might be the linchpin that person needed to finally make a decision to come out of darkness and into the kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So that's why you got to tell your friends what's on your heart. Now the problem comes if Jesus ain't really on your heart. Then you got a problem. You got a problem if he ain't on your heart. But in these days and times, what's really on our heart will come to the forefront. There's no time to play. I'm not saying be overbearing or obnoxious or arrogant. But I'm saying be like Jesus, be moved with compassion, knowing the eternal destiny that awaits those who are not saved. That's how we have to be moved, huh? That's how we have to be moved, to extend the invitation. Come meet a man. Whether you, in the case of a Samaritan woman, come meet a man that told me everything I ever did. Come meet a man who knows all my dark secrets. I ain't telling you because you can't handle it. But come meet a man. Come meet a man. Or if you are a follower and a believer and you finally met Jesus like Andrew and Philip, hey, you know what we've been looking for? We found him. Because there are some quote-unquote good-natured people in the world, but good-natured people is not saved people. Huh? So meet them where they are. Huh? Hey, meet them where they are. Don't tear them down. Just meet them. Hey, you know what? Remember during that last lunch break, you was in a conversation, and you said to me, you know, in confidence, you know that there had to be something better for your life. I found the better. Now that will be a divine lunch break. I found the better. Remember after we finished that test in class? And you said, man, I got so much stuff on me. There got to be a better way. Well, classmate, I found a better way. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. The invitation. Who's going to accept the invitation? And who's going to extend the invitation? Jesus said, and I'm finishing, if, let me get it, if you abide in my word, if you hold fast to my teachings and live in accordance with them, you truly are my disciples. Now I'm going to ask the question. Don't respond. Respond in your mind and heart. Are you a true disciple? And verse 32 said, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Invitation. We used to have cards. Remember the cards we used to have years ago? They were orange cards. I think Deacon Banks was the one that came up with that project. And we had cards that said, my name, hello, my name is, I want to invite you to our church. Great conversation tool. The invitation. Is there a need for us to extend the invitation? Amen. There's a need. So what are we going to do? How are we going to live this out? We have to live this out. It is really not a good thing to receive instruction, to receive admonition, to receive encouragement, and then let it stay there. That's not good. That's an exercise in futility. And that's not what we're about. Your time is too precious for us to waste your time. You could be other places, especially in Southern California. They got amusement parks, they got beaches, they got all kind of stuff going on, right? So what are we going to do with this? We have to take this and put some implementation to it. Just like the woman, just like Andrew, just like Philip. No big grandiose thing. Just tell somebody. Duh, we can do that. Right? Just tell somebody about Jesus. Has God done anything? Has Jesus done anything for anybody in here? Anything. Anything. Tell that. Tell that. Ask God to put someone in your path so you can tell that one who needs to hear that one thing. You ain't got to tell them the whole list because y'all ain't got that kind of time. But that, just ask God, give me one person this week that I can tell what you've done for me. Ask God. Because with the word, with us inviting or extending the invitation, a premium objective is we must pray. 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 So that our efforts of invitations will have prayer support. Because prayers can go where we can't go. And again, there's some things that are happening in the spiritual realm that we may not even be aware of, but God is. So pray. Pray. And then when and incorporate in our prayer, Lord, I need somebody to invite. Incorporate that in our prayer. And then get up and walk in agreement with the word and prayer. And then it's on God. And God never fails. If there's any failure, it's in me. If there's any failure, it's in us. So let us this week, if we live in the Lord's will,
Let us make a concerted effort, a genuine, true effort to invite someone to Jesus Christ. Amen? God bless you. God keep you. For those of you who are watching by live stream, we want to thank you for tuning in this morning. We are the Apostolic Faith Home Assembly Church located in the beautiful city of Los Angeles, California. We just want to say thank you for tuning in. We